Good morning. Welcome to the Gathering Place podcast. I am Pastor Todd. This week, Pastor Byron is preaching a message to edify the church. I hope you are edified as well. And now, Pastor Byron.
How are we doing? Mike, got it? We're good? Can you hear it? He'll have us going pretty soon. There you go. I'm on. Ooh, I'm on. So, you know what? It's before we get into the word. When we come gathering together, it's actually a command in Scripture. Don't forsake the gathering of one another together. And one of the things that God is impressing on me, we come together for much more than a shot of adrenaline. You know, just getting hyped up. Get that Holy Ghost thing going. Because, you know, that may last for a moment. But when we come together expecting to collide with the presence of Jesus and the love of the Father and witnessing the power of the Holy Spirit, guys, that's lasting. Church is not a place to get just a shot of adrenaline. It's getting something in your life that's sustaining. Yeah. You know, the enemy has, to me, one of the major things the enemy comes at us at to bring down our confidence in how much you and I are loved. Doesn't he? Because we're going to see today that right when Jesus was ministering to people, the enemy comes in to try to block the significance of him being there. Because if he can get you and me, if he can get you and me to doubt his love for us, he'll send us down the wrong road. His love sustains us. Make sure you keep that in a high place. High place. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for these stories that are stories repeated also in Scripture from several different men of God. And we understand that faith comes from hearing and hearing of the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the repetition in some of these stories in Scripture that we can glean from. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to be looking at a count, and we're talking about healing, and we're talking about where the Gospels talk about Jesus healing the sick. And we're looking at an episode this morning of when a lame person was brought to him for healing. And it's recorded in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But then we're also going to look at John of the same health issue, but a different scenario. Okay? So first of all, because we don't have that, we lost that little thing over here, but that's all right. So if I do a chum, if something comes out of this thing, just say, Lord, I thank you for spitting on me. So in Matthew's account of the raising of the lame, Jesus stepped out of the boat. By the way, oh, you got it. Oh, and I always feel sorry for Kel following me, because but he does a good job. So anyhow, he crossed and came over to his own town. Some men brought him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. And, you know, first of all, you know, there's several characters in all these stories, and right on the get-go, some men brought. Some men brought somebody in a need. You know, I guess for a ministry thing, if we're there meeting people and interacting with people, think about it. Is this an appointment to bring somebody to Jesus? So in this case, some men brought. And we're going to expand on that in Mark and Luke, because it says when Jesus saw their faith. You know, faith is a demonstration. And it's interesting, we'll find more revelation about this in the other writers, but he said Jesus saw their faith. And we'll find out what that means when we look at Mark and Luke. And he said to them, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Think about that. Some men brought a man with a physical need. And then Jesus announces, "Hey, son, your sins are forgiven." So sometimes we love to see God work in miraculous ways, and we forget about us, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That we are people that have been loved and forgiven by God Almighty. And it's amazing that Jesus starts there. "Son, your sins are forgiven." You know, in uttering those words to the lame man, what he was saying is, because of what I do and what I'm about to do, you can have confidence in me meeting your need. Meeting your need. Don't let the enemy disconnect you with how much God loves you. And then conflict came. "This fellow is blaspheming." You notice the ones that were observing it from a legal position came on attack. And here's about God going to do, Jesus going to do an amazing thing. A person that could not walk would walk again. And they got on, how could he forgive sin? So that tells me, guys, that the idea of being made right with God is almost a greater thing than the man walking. Because that's the thing that was under attack. Oh, now I know how to do this. Don't look down. Look up. And in this conflict, he makes a statement, "The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." There's no place else you can get clean. There's no place else that you and I could be washed up except that God sent his very own Son to shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. You feel clean? You feel washed? He wants you to. Mark. We doing good, Cal? Mark. Same story. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man. And a little more, Mark kind of opens up the story a little bit for you and I to understand seeing faith. He said, I saw faith. What about this story? He says in verse 4, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening on a roof above by digging through it and then lowered the mat of the man laying on it. And Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. Faith, sometimes to be seen, has to be demonstrated. All right? Matthew didn't talk about that much. But now Mark opens up to what it means to see faith. You see, these men that were carrying the lame man to come in the presence of Jesus did not quit just because they couldn't get through the door. They did not quit. They said, we got to find another way. We got to find another way. We got to find a way to get our friend in the presence of Jesus. Often do I or you hit a little obstacle and quit. Don't we? I know I do. I've quit when I should have kept pursuing. Well, these guys scratched their head and they said, we have to do this. We have to do this. We have to get this man in the presence of Jesus. We know something's going to happen. We know something's happened. So they made an effort and they climbed up on the roof and they started tearing the roof apart. They lowered him right at the feet of Jesus. And then he said, Jesus, that I saw their faith. There's no quitting in the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, we do meet obstacles. We do meet obstacles. And God's telling us, don't be overcome by the obstacles to experience being in my presence. Being in my presence. And in Mark, he says, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and said to them, and what they were thinking about, again, sins forgiven. How can this man ever say he has the power to forgive sins? And then he responded to his accusers, which is easier? To say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and take your mat and walk? You know, that's a good question. How would we respond to that? Is it more difficult for your sins to be forgiven, or is it more difficult to witness a miracle? How about us? What would we say about that? You know, you know what? Sometimes in my life, I act out that God can't forgive me. That, and sometimes, might be a thought process going in my head to say, it's really more difficult for Jesus to forgive me. There you go, that disconnect from his love. See, I've learned, when Satan reminds me of my failures, I start telling him that I'm highly loved and greatly favored. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am an object of his love. And as an object of his love, I can go to his throne of love and grace with confidence and know he's working through me. Or is it too difficult to believe that he can heal? Which is it? I think they're both difficult. But I think for me, the one I want to stay connected with and how much God loves me. And when the miracle doesn't happen, that doesn't disconnect that love. Now we go to Luke. And again, we won't go through the whole story, but we get more detail in Luke. And again, not to take a lot of time on this, but he said, I saw their faith in verse 20. And he makes that declaration again in all three Gospels. Friend, your sins are forgiven. Do you know that? Do you experience that on a daily basis? That your sins are forgiven and never succumbing to guilt and condemnation? That's not part of God's kingdom. Guilt and condemnation. Conviction is. And then again, in Luke, he says in verse 24, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Think about it. Think about he came and walked and did miracles, and he keeps bringing this up. I'm the one. In saying that to people, he knew what he had to face. He had to face not only the threats when these things happened from religious leaders, but he knew what he was facing. He knew what the cost was going to be. And he paid an awful cost. He was spit on, cursed, mocked, tormented, lied about, crucified, and drops of blood came down from that cross. And every drop was our forgiveness. You know, I often say to myself, then how could I ever hold an offense with somebody when he did so much and presented himself the authority figure in sins forgiven. Doing all that for me, how could I withhold that from any other person that I know? It's a powerful thing to walk in the presence of Jesus and acknowledging on a daily basis how much I'm loved. Because as you keep that at a high place, guess what? No offense from any person could cause you disconnect. Very interesting. The characters and the people in these stories, you know, we're seeing Jesus. We're seeing people doing acts of faith that Jesus could see. We're seeing opposition and Jesus' response to it. Now, John is a different story. It's not men bringing a paralyzed man to him. Not men not stopping from opposition, but following through, even if it meant tearing out a roof and bringing the paralyzed man at the feet of Jesus. But a little different story. Man had the same thing. John 5. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate Pool, which is an Aramaic called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered columns, colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Kind of out of sync with things, and you know, it's and the story says that when the water was troubled, whoever got jumped in first healed. But there was a man there. There was a man there. And one who was there had been invalid for 38 years. Why is that mentioned? Maybe someone here, maybe you and I have been waiting for God to break through. And it's been a long time. He was there 38 years. And he still said, someday it's going to be my day. You know, I think, you know, some of us, we go through things and we're waiting for God to show up and do something. And do we have the patience? Do we, you and I, have the patience to wait for the time? For the time. When Jesus saw him laying there and learned that he had been in that condition for a long time, he asked him, great question. Do you want to get well? Imagine, here in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, men were bringing people to Jesus' feet. In this case, Jesus sought a man out that had been a long time waiting. Interesting question. He was hoping somebody would jump him in the water to get healed, but it didn't happen. He didn't have people like the other person was. They had people carrying him, bringing him through there, and bringing him to Jesus' feet. He had people, and this poor guy was sitting there. You know, nobody's here to help me. And then Jesus shows up. And gives him an interesting question. Do you want to get well? Imagine how he might have been freaked out. Who is here telling me, do you want to get well? Then he goes into his whole story. Oh, man, you know, I certainly want to get well. There's nobody here to help me. Not like the other paralyzed man that men came by his side to help him. He felt helpless, unloved, and uncared for. If we feel that way, remember, Jesus is ready to show up. We can't afford to complain about God not showing up. Because in this case, he showed up. And Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Well, in the other cases, how can this man say he has authority to forgive sins? How dare him? Well, you know, the attacks are relentless. In this case, how could this man do it on the Sabbath? How could he heal and tell this man to work on the Sabbath? And they got into a big discussion, and we'll get that into that later. But I want to take a moment to say about, in these instances, the people that witnessed it and saw it, what was their response? In Matthew, filled with awe and praise went to God. In Mark, amazed, praise God, never seen anything like this in my life. In Luke, amazed, praise God. We have seen remarkable things today. So I'm praying as your pastor that as we come together, I think signs, wonders, and miracles are on the way. Your pastor, all of us, I'm willing to wait for as long as it takes, because that's something that we don't manufacture, but he does when he shows up. I'd rather have it be him than us patting our shoulders and saying, look what we caused to happen. Now the question is the modern opposition doesn't happen anymore. Well, you'll never convince me of that, because I've seen things that are absolutely miraculous just walking with my Jesus. I've seen somebody that was given the death certificate in a hospital and say, disconnect them and let them die. And when Holy Spirit led me in that situation, the person woke up and was healed. I've been there, directed by the Holy Spirit, when a woman's in a hospital with MRSA, pneumonia, in a coma, with a brain aneurysm, and seemed like no hope, and just following this Jesus that so loves me and so loves people, and just hear from him and say, Byron, just go in that room and just look at her and say good morning. No jumping or no crazy prayer. He said, just go in there and say good morning, and she'll wake up. So I did it. Went in there, said good morning. Of all things, her name Grace. Good morning, Grace. And her eyes popped up, had a disconnect. All the support of her, support of your life, and she went home the next day. You can't convince me that God is not doing miraculous things today.
Or yesterday.
So, what do we have here? You know what? Here, Jesus paid the price, rose again from the dead, and ushered himself. As the disciples saw him taken up in a cloud. And where is he? He's seated with his Father on his right hand, waiting for the Father to say, it's time to come back. So I think that's why we have in Scripture an account found in Acts chapter 3, after Jesus left. And to me, as I look on Acts of that book really charges me up, because Acts is still being written today in our lives. So we have here one day Peter and John. You know, here's John who John had that confidence I'm talking about. He had that confidence. No one was going to convince John that he wasn't loved by Jesus. You couldn't have. In fact, it says, and he wrote in his old book, the one whom Jesus loved. It wasn't being boastful. It was a knowledge of how greatly loved and how highly favored he was. His sidekick in this episode is Peter. And it's amazing. You know, this is the first miracle in the book of Acts, and John, the one Jesus loved, and Peter, big mouth Peter, always didn't get it right, and he sounded, on the outside, sounded really good before the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. I'll never leave you. I don't care what happens. I'm going to be with you. I just be convinced of that. And Jesus said, I'm praying for you, man, because you will stumble. But I want you to know I'm with you. And I'm not going to let the enemy rob your level of how much I love you. So, Peter, he sees the resurrected Jesus. And they said, no working for the kingdom until you experience the power of the Holy Spirit. So they all gathered in the book of Acts, and they were filled with the power of God to do ministry. From that, of all the people, maybe John appeared more qualified, but it was Peter that spoke a sermon after Pentecost, and thousands came to know Jesus. And now Peter and John are going to the temple at the time of prayer. 3 p.m. Another lame man. And probably they thought about where they'd been and what they saw and all the miracles of Jesus and how he talked about seeing faith, as he talked about going alongside people and helping them. And even when someone was helpless, Jesus came and healed him. Now a man who was lame, and we don't know this. The other one would say 38 years. In this case, lame, born, unable to walk at the beautiful gate. And Jesus, Peter, there now, confronted with this thing, knowing what Jesus did during his walk with Jesus, knowing that, empowered now by the Holy Spirit, says that famous, well, before we get that, Jesus said, look at us. Look at us. And you know, this is really cool because it's, what is our expectation of looking into the heart of Jesus and who he is? It says the man begging, the born lame, certainly said, they got his attention. He looked at Peter and John, expecting to get something from them. Now, it really doesn't say what the expectation was, but I can almost guarantee it wasn't expecting to get healed. Here's my hand, brother. I need some money. Look at me. Come on. I've been born lame. I can capture your sympathy. Look at me. I'm in big trouble. Provide for me. He had an expectation to receive, I think, probably money. But he got something much more. Much more. And Peter, and I say money because of what Peter said to the man. Silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now, we heard about the men, right, carrying Jesus, carrying a man to the feet and there, yeah. And we heard about Jesus encountering a man at the pool. He approached him, healed. I think Peter got the message. In saying that, silver and gold have I none, but such I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. 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 Very important to me, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. Maybe you and I will meet people in life that need a helping hand, that their faith may be wavering. They want to see God doing more and more and more, but they just need your faith to be announced to them, but it might take a little effort to grab their hand and help them up. I wish I was there. I wish I was there. Here's this crazy thing happening, and it's right after Pentecost, and Peter's with John. And I'd love to have been there when Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but such I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus, walk." And seeing the guy just sitting there, laying there, and then seeing Peter just touch his hand, and the power of God going into his life and jumps up. And he, I don't love Hollywood, the way they do some of this stuff. Some guys receiving a great miracle of God, but that's not the way it's written here. The way Hollywood puts it, they go, you know what? That's not what's written here. Taking him by the right hand helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Enough for him to be jumping and leaping and praising God. That's something all of us want to experience. God miraculously working in our life. And you know what? There's plenty of impossibles that you and I will face in life. They're in abundance. They're there. These things, how can I ever make it through this? I call those the impossibles. But I want to remind us that we have living in us the God of the impossible. So next time you're faced with something that you view, how can I ever get through it? How can I ever make it through this? Yeah, I'm going to just pull out one thing we learned at the men's retreat, and it was really awesome. A sideline, he kind of stretched a lot of us. I know he stretched me when he said, I think you're supposed to give the talk on Saturday morning. What do I do? Wow. In season and out of season, that's what my God says. But one of his impossibles was he was married to a wonderful woman. They had children. They had everything to look forward. God was working in his life. And that his wife at 50 years old was diagnosed with cancer and quickly died. And he said that rocked his world. That was one of his impossibles to ever get over. But God healed that and carried him along the way, and then brought another woman into his life that he said was by the grace of God. In closing, we're going to go back to John. Go back there where the person was healed. Opposition came. How could you do that on a Sabbath day? The lawmakers were on his case. Sometimes some of us might face that where the lawmakers are on your case. They'd rather feed us condemnation rather than conviction. Well, in this discussion we have in John 5:24. Get up there. In this discussion, Jesus makes a statement that I'm going to close with. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but will cross over from death to life. So in closing, cling to the one who loves you. Cling to the one who will never judge you. Cling to the one that will bring you conviction to guide you on your way. And don't ever accept judgment, condemnation, and guilt into your life. That's a time to draw the line and say, I will not accept it. I am greatly loved and highly favored. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I pray the Lord uses today's message by Pastor Byron to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to The Gathering Place podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.